welcome to the Good Heart Story Podcast. I'm your host, Catherine Wolf, and here on this podcast, we believe that the good story and the heart story can be the same story.
Let's do it.
Okay, we are here today for the first, drum roll please, Good Heart Story Podcast. Woo-hoo. Now, formerly, this podcast was the Suffer Strong podcast, which, if you haven't listened, go back and listen to season one and two of that podcast. But that's all part of this new one. Now, the reason for the name change could best be shared by my special guest today, none other than my husband, Jay Wolf.
Hello there. It's me.
Hi.
Yeah, I think we realize after talking and sharing this idea of a good hard life and a good hard story and the story that God is writing in our lives being not diametrically opposed or one or the other or on a binary, but this combination of joy and sorrow, good and hard, that just resonates deeply across the board with all different kinds of pain, all different kinds of suffering, all different kind of hopes and dreams. And so that's what we want this podcast to be about in its new iteration. And the Suffer Strong podcast was incredible to help us launch that message into the world.
Suffer Strong was a book that was launched in February 2020, right. And thus a podcast specifically for the book launch.
Yeah.
This is for nothing. This is for us and the world. And
that's right.
Perpetuity.
In perpetuity, ongoing. So that's, yeah, that message continues, I think, to be this core message of our lives, a core message of what we've learned through nearly 15 years of living out a really crazy story that we never imagined we'd be living, much less thriving and persevering through and finding great purpose and hope and meaning in, and having other folks find that along the way with us. So it seems like a perfect kind of jumping off point to continue sharing on this in this format with different people we care about, we've learned from, that we want our audience to know, just different talking around different ideas that are current in our lives and hearts and spirits. And yeah, it's going to be great.
I agree. I think we should give just a quick, like, 3-minute overview. If you just turned into this podcast for the very first time and are on zero, Who are these people talking to you?
Sure.
So would you want me to kind of give that Reader's Digest version?
You're the boss, baby.
If I can. Okay, so basically, we married and moved to California from the deep south on an adventure. We had a little baby and life was easy. We were able-bodied fully and no medical history, no family history, no pain, no symptoms, no problems. And out of absolutely nowhere, as a 26-year-old, I had a massive brainstem stroke due to an AVM I never knew that I had, an arterial venous malformation, and that little birth defect in my brain ruptured. I shouldn't say little. My neurosurgeon, again, recently confirmed it's the largest he's seen in his entire career. So yeah, that big old thing ruptured and caused a brainstem stroke. The pressure from the rupture was causing my brain to herniate into my spine.
Not survivable, basically.
Yeah, not survivable, exactly. And after 16 hours of micro brain surgery, my life was sustained. They kept me alive, but sacrifices were made pretty tremendously to keep me alive, including the removal of 60%, right? 60% of my cerebellum, which is why I cannot walk well today. I use a wheelchair mostly and get around with a walker and the help of an army. And yeah, they had to cut several intracranial nerves in order to remove the AVM, which is why the listener cannot see, but my face is paralyzed on one side. And no one would know, but I'm deaf in my right ear. And unfortunately, there are many, many lingering health issues connected to what I now recognize was the necessary elements to sustain life, which is a very, very powerful thought, that the sacrifices that were made in order for me to be here and show up and live were significant. The doctor had to make choices in the moment. Mm-hmm. And in so doing, he was able to keep me on earth. And I fully believe if you have a pulse, you have a purpose, even if your body's really messed up. So I definitely have a purpose and I have a pulse. And anyway, I wish I would have had that perspective then. I didn't. I just couldn't believe this happened. And it was just a horrific reality to wake up to. My baby was growing and I couldn't take care of him and I couldn't eat for a full year. I couldn't walk for 18 months. I still have pretty tremendous unknown future health stuff happening in my story. A brain condition that is undiagnosable, actually. And just a lot of just junk. I'm fully disabled now and don't drive a car and have a permanent Uber driver and my husband. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of just weird living in a body that doesn't fully work. Mm. But yeah, life's gone on. And that was year three of our marriage, which is pretty crazy. We're still showing up still and married kicking. After 18 years.
You said that with a question mark. That was really-
Well, no, 18, yes. 18 and so. More, yeah, 18.4.
Right. 18 kicking.
For sure.
That's right.
And we've gone on to have a second baby biologically, which was also a miracle that little John is in our story. And we have a camp for families with disabilities. We've written several books, have a beautiful faith-based nonprofit where we just get to speak, write, encourage people with hope.
That's right.
Anything to add?
No, I think, yeah, it's pretty overwhelming to think of how far we've come and how through such an upending and a tragic reversal in our life because of the Lord, we've still gotten to live out this beautiful hope and this beautiful redemptive arc of a story. And we, with a lot of humility and open-handedness, recognize that's not how medical crisis typically goes. That's not how significant disability typically goes. You know, the story usually ends in, you know, pain, rupture, divorce, bankruptcy, you know, just major depression. And we've struggled in some of those realms ourselves. I mean, nobody gets out unscathed from this life for sure. And so we've experienced all of that. But I think just the bigger picture and arc of the story is one of overwhelming gratitude for what God has allowed to come out of the ashes of our life and what it continues to grow. I mean, that's just, it's this metaphor that we see all around us. And even as we record this, you know, spring is coming up out of the dirt. And I think that the picture will never be lost on me, that is the life and the story we're all living in so many ways, that possibility of where it looks like everything has been lost. It's literally just earth, that there is something that can come and grow and beauty that can be made out of even that. And
well, since you said that, you know I have to share the Barbara Brown Taylor quote that I love so much from her book, Learning to Walk in the Dark. And she writes, "New life always starts in the dark. Whether a seed in the ground, a baby in the womb, or Jesus in the tomb, it all starts in the dark."
Mm-hmm.
I love that so much.
It's so good. And so hopeful for anybody listening even now who is in a season of darkness, where it feels like there could never be anything good to come out of this time, that we can't even see what's in front of us, much less what's down the road for our life and story. And really, that's all of us. I mean, we're in the same boat. I think what's beautiful about Catherine, how you have been able to communicate about your life, is you're not at some finish line. You're not, you know, at some place of the journey is over and now you can look back and say, wow, like, here's what I did to, you know, overcome. And even like, you know,
be triumphant.
Yeah, like, here's the three steps. But it's like in the process, in the midst, I'm still learning. I'm still struggling. I'm still hoping, though. And I can look back and see how far God has brought me and believe that he's going to keep bringing me even farther all the way home. And yet I think that's what's so poignant about the positioning from which you are sharing your life and your hopes and your struggles is that it's still in this beautifully fragile and tenuous reality that we're all in when we're alive, this side of heaven, is right. that we have a vision of a future story and ending and reality and hope, and yet we still live with the heartbreak of what it means to be alive and what it means to be human even now.
Right. And it is such a tension. Back to what you said a minute ago, actually, I think both of us on some levels, but definitely me, have felt a weird feeling of just guilt that our story has gone so well, which is kind of laughable to say since I'm fully disabled now and extremely impaired. But it's like, I mean, I dealt with some significant guilt early on after the stroke that my husband didn't leave and that I went on to have a second baby and that, you know, we have all these wonderful friends and family taking care of us. And so many people don't. And, oh, just, gosh, stop crying. Through the years, the stories of, you know, the single mother who has the stroke or the woman whose husband left or, you know, the parents that have the child die from disabilities or, you know, just, I mean, at this point, I don't even know, just through the years of speaking events and our camp and just this funny tribe we've got all over the country, all over the world, of people who just have had their lives shattered by various trials and tragedies, and maybe not shattered, maybe just hard. It's hard lives. It's been a journey for me to not feel guilty, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think this just became like a therapy session where I'm like, oh, I just feel so guilty. And I really don't anymore. I feel like I get to sort of carry a banner of hope and just long to just champion that and steward it well. But it has been a journey to get there and not feel like, too much unrelatable, I guess, too, of my story isn't, but especially with my more recent diagnosis of this undiagnosable brain condition, neurological vascular issue, it feels like, you know, she's still kind of living on the edge.
Right.
And I mean, we all are, if we're honest, but it does maybe make the story a little more relevant, especially our precious camp community of families with disabilities. Many of our campers are legitimately living with ongoing conditions. They didn't have something happen, and now they're disabled. They're lifelong, you know, dealing with whatever it is, spina bifida or some sort of cerebral palsy or something. Mm-hmm. And now I'm a bit more in that camp. And there is pain associated with that for sure, but there's also a deep sense of the Lord really teed me up to embrace that in a way I probably wouldn't have before. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I'm so sorry for crying so much, but that's very special. I guess I feel less afraid because of our campers. Mm-hmm. I always cry when I talk about our campers, don't I?
Of course. No, I mean, it's changed our hearts. It's helped heal our souls, I think, to be a part of a community of wounded healers, as Henry Nouwen says, because there is something deeply and obviously still wounded that we all carry and an unknown in that, but also that we have been healed so we can be about healing each other and in the world in so doing. And so I think also to your point earlier about the story, I think that's understandable. That survivor's guilt, kind of an idea of why did I get to have this sort of next chapter of my life? Whereas I see other people in similar situations that it's totally a different path that's been a lot harder and maybe more unfair. I think the reality is like not what is that next chapter, but what are you going to do with the chapter that you have? And thinking of our lives as a story gives this sort of evolving nature to the reality that there's a chapter right now that will change. And like it or not, seasons change. Sometimes that's a really good thing if the season needs to change and it's terrible and you want to get out of it. But sometimes it's a really great season and there is this sort of inevitability that it won't always be this way. And so not sort of looking back of like, gosh, I don't know why this person had this circumstance and I didn't, or vice versa. But like, I've been given this opportunity, this voice. I mean, I think about, you know, our friends with disabilities, it would be hard for the majority, I think, of our community to feel like they could articulate like you're able to do. Like they have the, even the personality or just like the cognition or whatever. I mean, disability is such a broad spectrum, but a lot of our friends are not able to communicate their story in a way that could bridge into maybe a typically abled audience in this universal way that, that God has given you to do. And why did he leave you with your stroke affecting mostly your brain and your mobility, you know, that part of your brain that's more mobility than cognition or language? Yes. I don't know, but I do know what you've done with it has been beautiful and really has helped connect the dots to people's pain and the possibility of what God does in the midst of our pain than few people on this earth that I know right now. And I'm so proud of you. And so, yeah, instead of sort of living in that guilt, I'm grateful to move from guilt into gratitude. And then now from looking, you know, sort of down.
We need another G word.
Down.
From guilt to gratitude to go.
Oh, that's good.
I like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I love the thought that the question isn't really like why, because it doesn't totally matter anymore. What matters is, what now? What are you going to do with what you got? And how are you going to get out of bed to a life that you never expected you'd be living? Mm-hmm. And what I think, you know, the question for me no longer is, well, I guess I should say I don't feel guilt as much anymore about my story, but I do feel a weighty sense of what are you going to do with your one precious life? Mm-hmm. Because that's the question for us all. And I feel it very acutely of, what are you going to do with your days? Because they are for sure numbered. And it matters how you live.
Yeah. And I mean, we both turned 40 last year.
Right.
So hashtag old. I mean, I remember my parents having their over the hill 40th birthday. You know what I mean? Like that was a big, that seemed crazy old.
Right.
And we got here pretty quickly now when I think about it. And so there is this sort of shift, I think, of the second half of life. And, you know, as we've learned a lot and we have more to learn, but how do we want to live differently through that lens of, this wild, precious life, as Mary Oliver said, one wild, precious life.
Maybe one wild and precious life. I don't know. Good quote. Look it up. Hey, listen, Jay Wolf, I have a question, or I have something I want us to talk about.
Yeah.
As I'll kind of tee up the story, and I'm interested to see what you might add.
Okay.
As we recently have reflected on numerous friends and discussed, you know, so many who were so just hurt in such a variety of ways by 2020 and beyond, specifically the year 2020 with COVID and all the fallout from COVID and just all the things that year meant to so many that it hurt so deeply on any and every level. And as we recount 2020 in our lives, especially as we reflected on it several weeks ago, it wasn't that bad for us. Like 2020, like it was actually not terrible. I mean, our kids were home from school a little bit and, you know, there was some minor things, but just no big deal. What a great year we had. Mm-hmm. And then we started remembering just a few specifics from that year. And it was absolutely terrible. Yeah. I mean, it's quite shocking to fully remember like what a intensely horrible year it was, nearly start to finish. I'll spare you, listener, all the specifics, but from some really intense marital drama to a launch of our book in February of 2020 to promptly every book launch event being canceled for many months to just some pretty major drama with the book release that I will not go into. I got several vertebral artery dissections and some major brain stuff happened. Jay's grandmother, beloved grandmother Muggy, passed away in May, and on and on and on. November 2020, the sort of cherry on top of the year.
The poo-poo Sunday.
Right. I take a fall in my front yard and end up with a torn ACL, MCL, and meniscus. Have to have a dramatic surgery. Mm-hmm. And I can't walk for 6 months. So... Oof. That yep. year was borderline horrific. And like in our memory, in our honest memory of it, it was great. Like perspective is everything,
yeah,
I think.
Relative to the rest of the world, yeah.
Relative to the rest of the world, we didn't lose a family member. We didn't lose our life or our jobs. Yeah. And like, yeah, it wasn't great, but it's still, it wasn't that bad, even though it was on paper, really bad. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so fascinating. We get to be the historians of our own lives,
yeah,
to our own hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty good. Crazy if yeah. you think about it. Like, we get to decide how we feel about our story.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have control over so much, from COVID happening to everything in every realm, relationally, mm-hmm. politically, mm-hmm. like there are pains and problems on any and every level of life happening mm-hmm. all the time. And we can't control what happens to us. Mm-hmm. We really can't. But we do have control over how we narrate it, mm-hmm. how we remember it, how we tell our children the details of it, what we do with what happens to us. We have total control over that. How we move forward.
Yeah.
Honestly, how we choose to live unafraid mm-hmm. in our stories. And I firmly believe that that deep trust in the Lord in our stories changes how we view them. Because
mm-hmm.
we see like, okay, God's brought me this far, so He's probably going to do it again.
Yeah.
He keeps doing that. He keeps showing up and taking care of me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be afraid or remember the wrong story here.
That's right. Were you going to ask me a question or?
I guess so.
Was there a question?
Well, ask? I guess.
I love what you said. It was beautiful.
I guess the question for you is, how do we do that? How do you do that? How do we both do that? Like, how do we... like, look back at 2020
yeah.
and think like, yeah, it wasn't that bad at all. It was a good year. It was an easy year.
Mm. Well, I mean, I think it's not revisionist history or it's not denial. It's recognizing those parts of a story that are really hard in the context of a much bigger story and giving them their rightful place. And now there's trauma there. There's things to grieve. There's things to work through and even look back on. Maybe, and mourn. I mean, that's all legitimate. And we're certainly not talking about sort of glossing over really horrible, hard parts of your story as if they never happened. I think we honor that that is part of a journey, but the expectation is different when we say, yeah, this next year, it may have some incredible beauty in it and incredible ease. And maybe even relative to the rest of the world, it might be like it like next level, simple and, you know, privileged and all that. But we can still say this year may also ahead have some real unexpected, horrible detours and pain and unexpected loss. And yet knowing that on the whole, the arc of this story is a good story. And I'm going to keep fighting to find the good threads and pulling them towards myself to create this, yeah, this bigger sense and sort of this muscle memory, right? I think we, like you said, you get to kind of, you get to narrate that story.
Right.
You don't have control over what the next chapter is, but you do get to decide what you tell yourself about it and what you tell your people about it too. Even our kids. I mean, we're the narrators of the world to the microcosm of our world, our family. And the overflow of that goes beyond it. But like, we get to help our kids unpack and understand this good story they're living and the hard parts of it as well.
I love that. I love the thought that we are constantly narrating and re-narrating and sort of taking back. You know, I love to call it the joyful rebellion against the darkness as we get sort of rebel.
Brad Montague, our friend.
Yeah, Brad Montague is the original joy rebel. Phrase outlogist, is that a word? Yeah. And I love that picture that we get to joyfully, with deep joy, rebel. And I think that has everything to do with redefining what good looks like in our stories. Sure. And I think probably you and I have come close to doing that. I mean, who knows? Mm. But hopefully near death helps you get there, and that maybe the good things of life aren't what you always thought.
Yeah.
Even sweet Christian people who live in such a way to believe that if I'm good, I'll get good. Mm-hmm. And good means feeling good, looking good, getting the goodies, and not like being able to endure and sustain when life is really hard, and being able to stay and not run in the pain of others, and really recognizing that the good things are the gifts that God gives us, that the joy, the peace, the presence of Him in our stories, that is actually what goodness of God is all about. Mm-hmm. And that is inside of us and nothing that the world could ever touch. And maybe we've got a small glimpse of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, more to come too, I think, in this podcast format. We're excited to explore a little bit more and in an ongoing nature, invite in voices that have meant something to us that we've learned from, that we're learning from, friends, folks who are on our team with Hope Heals, just people who we do life with, to unpack and to just reveal the beauty of, as we say, that the treasures that we found in the dark, the reality of the depth of the good hard life and the story God's writing for us as He's growing something new out of what looks like darkness, out of what looks like just plain dirt. And what a joy to get to remember that story together, because we forget it often. And I think that's why we're meant to be in this life in community, around the table, quite literally. We're recording around our table, our dining table at our house, in recognition of this reality of communion, of community. And that's where we found such depth of healing, despite all the deepest pain and the deepest hard chapters of our life, that there is still goodness that we've remembered together. And we want to share more of that, and we will. And you will.
Yeah, I guess I will. Go for it. And maybe a special guest in Jay Wolf.
I'll be back whenever you need me.
As you probably are hearing, he is quite articulate at sharing just good nuggets that we all need for hope in our stories. Likewise. Hey, I'm so glad you've tuned in today and are with us in this, because we are with you in this journey that is not easy for all of us, called life on earth. And the reason that we are calling this the good hard story is that is our lives, everybody. Good and hard coexisting. They're not mutually exclusive. They never have been. We just have had a really hard time seeing it that way. But they are one. And maybe we're bringing that back. That notion of good hard is one I am pretty obsessed with, I'll be honest, because it's helped me cope. Life is never, ever not both at the same time.
That's right.
So thank you guys for tuning in and listening to us. Please keep listening to us.
That's right.
Tune back in. Thank you for joining us on the Good Hard Story podcast. To learn more about what we are doing, follow us on Instagram at Hope Heals. Check out all things Hope Heals at hopeheals.com. Don't forget to subscribe to this wherever you get podcasts, and please feel free to share this episode with somebody who needs to hear it. Good Hard Story Podcast is a production of Good Hard Story, LLC. It is produced and edited by Leah Case and Mary Austin Hall. And I am your fearless and fabulous host, Catherine Wolf. Come back and join us every week where we believe that the good story and the hard story can be the very same story. With you and for you, friends.